In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
Still continue the series, The Spirit of Faith. Last week was 2.0, right? Some of you were blessed last week. We talk about the just shall live by faith. So it takes somebody who knows he has been justified by the blood of Jesus to please God. Because living by faith is how you please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And to live that kind of lifestyle, it takes you knowing you are just. And our justification is not a function of our performance, but rather is a function of the sacrifice of Jesus that you have faith in. The Bible clearly states in the New Testament that we are justified by his blood, not your effort. In fact, Isaiah says, he said, by self-righteousness shall no man be what? In fact, there's a way Isaiah put it. Let me put it. He said, your self-righteousness is like a filthy rag. It smells badly. You will never do enough to qualify for what God gives freely by faith. So don't try. Don't you say, don't try. So God is saying, receive it first. It's after receiving your justification by faith that you can now produce fruits of what? Righteousness. Okay, so today we're going to move on to something very, very powerful, and I'm going to be talking about the power of God's love. Amazingly, today's devotional is focused on that, the power of God's love. How powerful the love of God is. You know, a couple of years ago, the Lord taught me the relationship between God's love and faith in God. God's love, and because a lot of times people separate them as if they are two different streams and they are not connected. But I've come to realize that there's a strong relationship between your understanding of the love of God and your faith in God. Your understanding of what? The love of God and what? Your faith in God. In fact, let me explain to you how God taught me several years ago. Married people in the house, can you wave your hands? Married women in the house, can you wave your hands? Now, if you go back 10, 15, 18, 25, 3 years, 4 years, depending on when you met her, I mean met him. It's married woman, so it has to be him. When you met him, what happened? In most cases, this man came around you and said, how are you? Start showing affection, paying you attention. In fact, for most of you, he's like, no, that's not my kind of man. You know, several years ago, we had a church member. Foolishness is a terrible thing, though. There was this young man in church, good young man, that was interested in her. So I got to know, so I called her. I said, what's going on? This guy likes you. He said, it's not my type. I looked at her, I said, what type is your type? To cut the long story short, a year after, she came back. I said, can you tell him to come back? The guy said, no, I'm not coming back. Don't be too quick to dismiss. It's not my type. Okay. So, in a lot of cases, when he started coming around, I passed along enough to realize that it's mostly, no, we're just friends. No, I can't marry him. And the guy was very, very committed. Devotion. Consistency. Showed your attention. Somebody's looking at me like now because that's her story. I won't look at the person's story. I still remember the day she told me, no, it's not my type. Okay. But they have typed each other for over a year now, a couple of years. So, okay. I don't look in anybody's direction. So please don't get me into trouble. I'm looking straight. Looking unto Jesus, the author of my faith. Anyway, he stayed and stayed and stayed. Then from it's not my type, he became, the guy is really nice. It's not bad. Then I think I like him. Then you told him, ask me out again. Better be humble. Maybe you should be the one to ask him out. After all, he asked you out. You are the one that says it's not your type. Okay, anyway. So you started dating. You know, this generation is a very complicated generation. Love was simple in our days. A sister in Christ, a brother in Christ. You like each other. The day you are asking out, that's the day you are engaging. But this, why are you looking? This is a complicated generation. You say, in fact, I will soon preach a message on the complication of a generation. You are very complicated. We are seeing, we are talking, we are dating. It's like 7 levels, though. They see, they talk. Oh, there's a test. They test. Okay. The day. October 1st, 1994. The day, in fact, it was October 1st. It was September 1st. Okay. September 1st. September 1st. It's a long time. Wow. So this year is going to be 30 years that I asked my wife out. I'm very young. Please, don't clap for me. Please. That clap makes me feel old. That's, I asked a woman at 30 years. I'm a young man now. Look at me. Okay. Anyway, should I tell you how I did it? It's love month, right? How many of you want to know? Look at you. The one story. Okay. Oh my God. I hope you will still like me after today. So. I'm shy. I'm very, very shy. Anyway. But don't try it if you are not pastoring the person you are asking out. I just engaged her in conversation and we were talking. I said, I just want to let you know that we engaged from today. That's the summary. No. Okay. Are you doubting your apostle? Go back, my friends. If I lay hands on you, you will somersault. Anyway, that's paraphrased. But the point, please don't. Why are you distracting me? Okay. Second service starts at 12. So you won't want to hear that version. You wait for that. Just know we are beating Cote d'Ivoire later, so you need to close that service quickly. So, okay. Gina, what did I sense in that laughter? You know you're a Nigerian now. Are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I was told that somebody saw a vision yesterday that we didn't win. I say, I stand in my office of a senior pastor, and I cancel every strange vision. Whosoever brought that vision, I send it back to you. We won. Okay. Look at how fully dressed we are. Did you even wear the jersey? And we now win. We must win. We are very invested. Okay. So, to cut the long story short. So, the man kept on hanging around you. And you said, I like him. And you started going out. And before you know it, you told your parents, and your parents say, he can't take care of you. Say, no, but I love him. They're like, we've been there for you all your life. All of a sudden, a boy you met a year ago, I love him. You have to accept him. So you tied their hands until they accepted him.
And before you know it, you drop your father's name that you have carried. The name that you carried with so much dignity. He said, no, I'm dropping it. Somebody is shaking his head. You're not planning to drop your father's name. I will pray for you after the end of the service. So you drop your father's name and you married him. Let's look at the story. How did it start? It was a story of conviction, of love. You were so persuaded in the love the man had for you. And before you knew it, that conviction of his love for you translated into your faith in him. Even when the man did not seem to have a lot of money in terms of material things, you believed so much in his future, which started with the story of love. And now you say, I will love you for the end of my life. I will draw my father's name. I will move into your dad. You were living in your dad's mansion. Mm-hmm. Now you move into his BQ, boys' quarter. And you are too excited. You can't even see anything. You are in love. Although that love clears after that's a way of clearing. And that's why men that they are women marry in faith, you have work to do. Because hope defiled. Makes that weary before they start questioning that love. But the point I'm trying to make is this. It started as love. Then it translated into faith. I believe in you. I'm not marrying you because of what you have now. I'm marrying you because I'm convinced of your love for me. And I know things are going to change. And when things change, you will take care of me. But even when it doesn't look like it, now, I love you enough to trust you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. The power of God's love. The power of God's love. You know, people are looking for ways to strengthen their faith. Little did they know that if they can only understand the depth of God's love, faith will become natural where God is concerned. Look at it. Can we read it loud and clear? He said, we have known. This was John writing to the church. He said, we know that love. We know that love. We know that love. Which love? The love that God has for us. Now, he talked about believing that love, but before believing, there is a knowing of that love. There's a revelation of that love. And I believe one of the problems in church is that there is low revelation where the love of God is concerned. You know, I get concerned when I see a generation, they are so big on, I love God, I love God, I love God. Listen, if you keep on shouting, I love God, I love God, one of these days you will burn out. Because there's a love that comes before your love for him is his love for you. If I go to verse 19, I love God, I love God. Calm down. Calm down. I'm not saying you should not love God. But there is a love which is primary and more fundamental and more foundational. And that love has nothing to do with your love for him, but it has everything to do with what? His love for you. Verse 19, can you read it for me? 1, 2, 3, go. Did you see that? In fact, the reason that you love him is because he loved you first. In other words, the extent to which you express your love for him is determined by how much of his love for you that you know. Should I repeat that? The extent to which you are able to express your love for him is determined by how much of his love for you that you know. So the love that comes first is not your love for him, but his love for you. Your love for him is a response, but his love for you is the foundation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Said that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Now, before you jump into, can you see? He's saying when you're rooted and grounded in loving people, your faith. You know, it's only a con that quotes scriptures out of context. So let's go to verse 18 to see the love, because maybe you're saying it's not clear. It could have been, it's our love for him. Saying we should be rooted and grounded in our love for him. Verse 18. He said, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Hey, the word comprehend there in the original Greek means to seize and possess. God wants you to possess something. He said, with all the saints, this must be possessed more than your real estate. What needs to be possessed? The width, the length, the depth, and what? The height. Move on, verse 19, please. To know your love for Christ. Come on, talk to me. Do your love for Christ? What does it say? So when he was talking about rooted and grounded in love, which love is he referring to? Evangelist. Love of Christ. The love of Christ. He said, I want you to seize it and possess it. Even more than you buy your real estate, buy this one. Comprehend it. It's the responsibility of the saints to go after this knowledge. In fact, you know, that word know there is from the Greek word ginosko. And it was the same word translated know. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, where the Bible says, after the Holy Ghost had impregnated Mary, Joseph did not... Give me Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. Glory to God. Matthew. He says, and did not know. So the word know here and the word know in Ephesians chapter 1 are from the same Greek word, ginosko. Now, it was referring to Joseph. In other words, after Mary got supernaturally pregnant, how many of you know Mary got supernaturally pregnant? Man was not involved. It was the seed of God. He said Joseph was not involved in intercourse. That's a literal interpretation. And how did he say, did not ginosko. In other words, this no is the kind of no that when you know a woman like that, you bat children. There's a knowing of the love of Christ. God says, I want you to know the way a man knows his woman and the woman gets pregnant. He said, I want you to be intertwined with this love by revelation. So it's not just a song you sing, Jesus loves me as I know. No, it is at the root of your spirit. You are so rooted in the love of God that nothing moves you again. Oh, is somebody listening to me? I mean, you stop being that kind of a Christian that any little thing happens, I don't know, I'm not even going to church again. I'm not going to stop paying my tithe. I don't judge the love of God by my experience. Yes, I judge God's love for me by the sacrifice of Jesus. Write it down. I don't judge the love of God by my experience. I know you have amazing testimony. You bought a G-Wagon. You bought a house. You bought this. You bought that. Glory be to God. It says the knowing of love is based on the depth, the height, the width of the love of Christ as demonstrated on the cross. Now, if your faith is built around testimonies of men, so when men start having testimonies, quote and unquote, that are not sounding like the one you build your faith around, that means your faith will become shaky. But there's a revelation that is rooted in the cross. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Said, no, I know love. I know love. I know love. How? Based on what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I know love. Because according to John chapter 15 verse 13, love cannot be greater than this. Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down. He laid down his life. That is love at his height. That is the depth of love. That is the width of love. Look at it. He said, but God demonstrates. The old King James says, God commended. For the sake of the old King James people, God commended or demonstrates his own love towards us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, Christ died for you. So God's demonstrations of love is measured in the death of Jesus. Write it down. So if you really want to know the love of God, you have to go back to the cross. You have to go back to the cross. Nothing demonstrates love like what happened on the cross. Is somebody listening to me? Now go to verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans, look at it. It says, he who did not spare his own son. Now, I am blessed with one son. I love you. But I can't spare my son for you. No way. You sinned. The wages of sin is death. No, you. I love you, I love you. I love you, I still love you. Don't get me wrong. Your pastor loves you. But I'm not sparing my tolu for you. Forget it. No. We sympathize, empathize, all the ties. But that's why it hurts. No, I'm not killing my son for you. The soul that sinned must die. It's the soul that sinned, not my son. Come on. Every sincere parent in the house, if you are with me, stand up. If that's your position, stand up. Say, I love you, I love you. Yeah, take me, my son away. Go and kill him. Ah, no. Sit down. I'm not. Ah, I love you. I will cry for you. I will sympathize, empathize. Anything, in fact, we will create some new ties. Any other ties? Empathize, sympathize. It has finished. It's okay. It is finished then. It is finished. That's why it finishes with me. But God. And that's why the love of Christ is not natural. I can't do it because I'm not God. I love my son. I'm not. It's okay. Can we take your son? I said, no, you can't take him. The soul that sin must die. Can my son take your place? No. You will wear your shoes. You will wear your what? Your shoes. That is human love. And it's normal. And you know, and that's why at times, you know, for example, this happens in Africa a lot, that, you know, somebody's cousin, somebody's third cousin, whatever, will come and live in your house. And then later on in life, they will say, oh, they didn't give me the same treatment they gave their children. What do you expect? They sent their children to the most expensive school. But I only went to school. You went to school. They were kind enough to ensure you went to school. Oof. And that's why I don't believe in making your child someone else's your responsibility. It's their child. Their child went to the best school. But you went to school. Ah, be grateful. Because when they were planning primarily in that marriage, they were planning for their children, not you. So they were kind out of the generosity of their heart. The magnitude, you know the adjectives. They said, let's give him some measure of education. But it's not their responsibility. I don't know who I'm ministering to. Hopefully you are not beefing a family member. If there's anybody to beef, it's your parents. They outsource you. It's only natural. People, they give prime attention. But look at what he did. He spared. He did not spare his own son. One son. You know, now we can sing. You know, there's a song, popular song. Jesus is the only son of God. Is it a lie or is it a lie? Because he was the only son, but no longer. Hallelujah. We are children, just like he's a child. I don't know if you know that. But as of this time, he was the only son. Mm-hmm. It was not like God had a backup son. He was the only son. And yet, God said, you know what? If this is what you take to redeem humanity, to bring them back to me, I let him go. Do you know what it means when he lied on the cross and shouted, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because for the first time ever, Jesus felt disconnected from his father because of your sins. He spared his son. There's a revelation that warms the heart. A revelation of God's love that warms the heart. When you know what actually happened on the cross, Jesus died for sins he did not commit. There was no sin in him. He did no sin. He had no sin. And yet he died for the sins of the sinners. He spared his only son. He said, let him go, let him go, let him go, let him go. That's how much I love you. Get on your feet. That's how much I love you. Let him go, let him go, let him go. So I can say God does not love you less than he loves Jesus. He demonstrated it by killing Jesus for you. He loves you so much. I said, Jesus, I know you, I love you, but you know what? Just know I love you, but you will have to do this for me because I love your brothers too. Now listen, if we have Jesus killed, because Jesus died, he was not moving. There was no camera there. Die, just pretend like you are dying. No, he died. That was why at some point when he saw the gravity of what was coming at him, he said, Father, if possible, let this cup pass over me. It was tough on Jesus. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Well, Jesus was just, I'm going to the cross. Cross, cross, cross. No, it was a sacrifice. He felt the pain of death. And he still went all the way and did the sacrifice. Remember, if he did not spare Jesus, how shall he not with him also? So the reason why you find it difficult to believe God for anything is because you have not totally assimilated the fact that the most precious thing to God was spared. What else can he not give you? He gave you Jesus. He gave you Jesus' life. Jesus died for you to have his life. When you gain this, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, he said, you will come to the fullness of God. There's a fullness of God we have not come to because we are yet to comprehend the depth, the height, the width, and the length of the love of God. So the next time you sing, Jesus loves me, yes, I know, just make sure your mind is on the cross. I don't care whether you have a G-Wagon, a Tesla, a Range Rover. Those are not the true picture of God's love for you. God's love for you is demonstrated in the death of Jesus. If we have Jesus killed for me to be family, what else will he not give me? He has already given the most important thing. Oh, when you come to this point, faith becomes a flow. God says, I want you to go and do this for me. It's okay. Oh, you gave Jesus. What else will you not give me? Oh, $5 million. It's okay. Let's do it. Anything. Spirit of faith is unleashed. Because we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And it abides in love, abides in God. Did you get something out of this morning? So there's a knowing of love. Don't you never say, neighbor? I'm rooted.
I'm
grounded.
In the love
that God has for me.
Jesus
loves me,
and
I believe it. Can you sit for 2 or 3 minutes? There are a few things I want you to really take down. I know I really want you to get. Did you get something out of this teaching? Okay. Now, take out. Do you come to my service without planning to write? In the name of Jesus, you start writing. So that when they ask you, what did you learn from church? You will have things to show. Now, my parents, I remember those days going to school when you come back from Sunday school. Everybody come, what did you learn from church? So I'm asking you, write this down so that you will tell your friends. The death of the cross is a demonstration of God's love. The death of the cross is a demonstration of what? God's love. I'm running it. Your revelation, media has it, so you can run it as I'm, okay. But don't be ahead of me, just run it with me. God bless you. You are the best. I told you in December 31st. And you're living up to your reputation. The death of the cross is a demonstration of what? God's love. 2, your revelation of God's love brings you to the fullness of God. Hey, if you want to grow, then meditate on the demonstration of God's love for you on the cross. Because it brings you what? To the what? The fullness of God. 3, knowing the depth of God's love as demonstrated in the death of the cross unleashes your faith. Hey, in other words, your faith, boom. So meditating on God's love, assimilating God's love, makes your faith functional. Glory to God. Victorious lifestyle through faith is a product of God's love. I love, is it Romans chapter 8 verse 37 that says we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. So your winning capacity is tied to you knowing you are loved. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Now, if you go to verse 35, Romans 8, 35, let me show you something there. Something very powerful. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, 2 verses up. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want you to take note of this phrase, love of Christ. You know, we are focusing on love of Christ. Who shall separate us from what? The love of Christ. Who shall separate us? It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Now, all these things mentioned were things that Paul was subjected to. But there's something about somebody who is grounded and rooted in love of Christ. The experiences of life are too shallow to talk him out of the fact that God loves him. Because all the time what he sees is the cross. Whatever is going through, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm loved. I was sharing with somebody a couple of years ago, summer blast. This should be like 4 or 5 years ago, summer blast. The last day of summer blast, after we have had our wedding vow renewal the previous day with my pastor, beautiful day, Saturday. We woke up Sunday morning to come to church. And bam, we opened the door. And I looked at the driveway where the car was supposedly parked. And the park had flown away. Yes. It flew away. Some boys played from Chicago. They took excursion to our neighborhood and just borrowed it. So my son came out, my daughter came out, they're like, where's the car? And I turned around, God is my witness, and I did. You can ask my wife, I said. And I pointed to the other car. I said, everybody moved into that car. The car is big enough to carry every one of us. And I said, I don't want to hear anything about this car. I have a summer blast to end. And that's what is on my mind. It's just a car. It was not my son that was stolen. My wife was not stolen. It's just a car. So he said, we're not even going to do anything about it. We came to church. Had a wonderful service. Then when the service was over, then maybe I told somebody, he said, somebody borrowed a car. Then I said, okay, let's call the cops. Okay, our car was borrowed overnight. We just won't let you know. So I'm not speaking from the point of view of somebody who has not had to deal with issues in life. Where's the car? Not my life. Of course, the car that was borrowed was returned in 2 weeks. But can you imagine if I'd lost everything? Just call the church office. Please, I'm not coming. Something dramatic. It's just a car. Listen, whether it's tribulation, whether it's distress, whether it's sword, whether it's nakedness, it's nothing. Because we are more than conquerors. God did not tell you that there will not be issues, but he promised you, you win. Get on your feet. You win. You know, people that establish the love of Christ, they don't get tossed around by anything. Oh, they said this happened. Okay. Something happened about, was it last week or barely over a week ago? And, you know, one of the staff called me. I said, can I show you what is going on? I said, don't show me. I want to FaceTime. I said, don't FaceTime me. I mean, we're going for pastor's retreat. Now you want to be showing me. I said, I've had. What I've had? I'm still dealing with what I've had. Now you want to take it to another level. Show me. I said, it will be fixed. I said, call so and so. He will fix it. I said, fix. I said, okay, sir. The person could not understand. Then later on, the person told me, say, you know, I'm just growing in faith. I said, yes, you are growing in faith. Say, I've learned. And they said, thank God you learned. Because to the glory of God, at the end of the day, the issue is being resolved now. Can you imagine? And now shut down. Tell all the pastors that came from Europe, from Dallas, all of you, you're on your own. Something just happened. I'm running. No, I'm not running anywhere. In fact, ask my wife, did we have any conversation about it throughout the retreat? No, it was after the retreat. And I said, they said something happened, no, but it's under control. We don't magnify issues because we magnify the cross. The cross has been so magnified that every other thing looks like it's small. Is it barrenness? It's small. A child that is proving difficult to raise is a small thing. Health situation is a small thing. We will beat it. We are more than conqueror. Remember, he loved you enough to die for you. So what can be greater than that? What do you need? Is it healing? A car? A job? Nice family? He died for you. What else? Hey, nobody has a rose to me. Maybe God was even saving your life. Because that person you are hoping to propose to, you, somebody was sharing that with me, how a relationship broke last year. And when it was done, I said, it was a deliverance. He looked at me and said, yes. I said, that's the person you wanted to marry. So I started singing for him. Eze bube, see how much you saved me. Say, God saved you. That's not a wife. That's a knife. You are crying over that. Why? You are about to take a knife to the altar. She will cut you. After 3 months of marriage, you will not be able to recognize yourself. Because you will bear in your, you know, Paul said, I bear my body. It will be in your mind. You will bear in your mind. So by the time I was done with him, he said, it's true, it's true. I never saw it that way. We are more than conqueror. Yes. So there's nothing we can't deal with. Sword, nakedness, we know how much God loves us. I'm loved by God. Somebody scream, I'm loved by God. Lift up your two hands and just bask in that love. Makatu sopra lakata yashad. Bando sosobokwata ya. Bengata ya. Makatu sokri anda kata ya. Come on, just bask in his love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you know everything we do as believers should be motivated by love? Our giving should be what? Love motivated. Knowing how much he loves us. You know, I love what Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says. It says, for faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by... There's a law of love that governs faith. And it's both sides. The love of Christ and the love for Christ. But remember the love of Christ first before what? The love for Christ. The love of Christ is the root. The love for Christ is the fruit. Did you hear me? The love of Christ is what? The love for Christ is what? The fruit. And that's how faith works. So your faith rests on love. It stems from love. Depends on love. Father, we give you praise. Lift those hands up and just appreciate him. I need you to sing a song to him because you love him. You know, that's what you do. You know, when I was in relationship, you know, courtship, I used to write poems. And you know, once in a while, the anointing comes on me. You know, when you are in love, you know, you do crazy things. Can you sing a new song unto him? I'm still in love, by the way. Can you sing a new song? Can you sing a new song? Makota yeshidebe, makata sotaba. Jesus, you love me too much, oh.
Too much, oh, excess love, oh.
Come on, raise it.
Jesus, you love me too much, oh. Too much, excess love, oh. Hey, Jesus, you love me too much, oh.
Too much, excess love, oh.
This kind of love cannot be earned, no. Jesus, you love me too much, oh.
I'm led by God to do this. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there are times that we deal with some issues and they are very overwhelming. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They are so overwhelming that at times you are like, you find it difficult to even see that God loves you again. God told me that stand with people in the love of God today. If you are here this morning, there's something you are passing through in life now that makes it challenging to see that God loves you. But of course, this morning something happened inside of you. But you want me to stand with you in this love that brings victory. I want you to come here. It's a stand of faith, it's a stand in love. I want you to come quickly. Don't, you're dealing with one thing or the other, and you know there are moments you've had to deal with that it was overwhelming. You know, at times you don't even want to talk to anybody about it. But God told me, say, stand in love and stand in faith with them. Because a stand in the love of God is a stand of faith. Because love, when you can see the love of God, your faith in God rises to another level. There's nothing that is bigger than the love that Jesus demonstrated for me. So, I want you to tell that very thing. You will not overcome me. I'm the overcomer. Beyond this situation, I see the love of God. I focus on the love of God, and I'm coming out victorious because God loves you. Go ahead and tell God right now. Reassure yourself that God loves you. Reassure yourself that God loves you. The cross proves it. The cross proves it. A stand in the love of God is a stand of faith. And there's nothing the love of God cannot overcome. And I stand with you this morning concerning the different situations represented. I declare, as we stand in the love of God, I declare your faith rises in God, and I declare the victory you desire is delivered in the name of Jesus. I want you to stretch out your hands like someone who wants to receive. You're not receiving from God, you are receiving from man. Lord, I stand here as your representative. Having communicated the love of God to these people, I declare their faith is strengthened. Their faith in your love for them. And because they are more than conquerors, through you, their lover, who gave the life of a son for them. So I declare every situation represented here, I call you resolved.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If you know Jesus loves you, if you know the Father loves you, and if he could give you Jesus, he will give you breakthrough in this situation. I want you to begin to rejoice, all of you in front. I said rejoice. I said rejoice. Rejoice. You know, there's a slang, say, he will never leave me hanging. So he will never leave you what? Hanging. Now turn to you and say, Jesus loves me. I believe it. And my faith in his love speaks boldly. Today, I'm an overcomer. You can go back to your place. Come on, rejoice as you go back. Okay.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.